My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is the president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. She joins us today to discuss 5 years since the signing of the Affordable Care Act into law, 5 years of Obamacare, as it's known more colloquially. Grace Marie joins us now to look back, discuss where we stand with it right now and what's coming down the road, both if nothing is done and if something is done. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, always a pleasure. Thank you.
For some folks, it seems like a long time ago. Other folks seems like yesterday to them. When you look back at how this was done 5 years ago, what comes to mind first?
You know, Greg, I was actually one of the members of Congress actually got me into the gallery the night that the House took the final vote. And it was just so amazing to hear those last few hours of the debate after having been immersed in this for such a long time before that. And the promises of utopia from the Democrats was astonishing to me. Finally, we're going to get to universal coverage. We're going to provide coverage for everybody, and we're going to reduce the deficit. Everybody's going to save. Families are going to save $2,500 a year on their health insurance costs, and on and on and on it went. And the Republicans on the other side were saying that because of specific evidence that we already have, none of those things were going to happen. And what's happened in the last 5 years is people have learned on a very personal level how they were lied to in the passage of this law. They've lost their doctors. They've lost their health plans. Their costs are going up. Many people have lost jobs and certainly hours as a result of it. Small businesses have felt a huge impact. It's been a tremendous drain on the economy, and very few, if any, of those original promises were met. So it's really, to me, very discouraging to see the utopian promises and how the American people were lied to and deceived in order to pass this law, but now, 5 years later, how they are seeing on a very personal level why they should now not trust politicians when they promise them the moon.
Grace Marie, it was just last week that the president was in Cleveland, Ohio, talking about some of his current economic priorities and noting that it's been almost 5 years since the passage of the Affordable Care Act. He said that every prediction they, meaning critics of Obamacare, made about it turned out to be wrong. It's working better than even I expected. And he says those continuing to criticize Obamacare are going by a, quote, evidence be damned, unquote, position. How do you respond to that?
My gracious. Well, I just encourage people to take a look at our book, Why Obamacare is Wrong for America. And we talked about how it's hurting families and doctors and physicians and senior citizens and especially young people. Over and over, the evidence has really played out. We are seeing an even greater shortage of physicians, as many of them just are either selling their practices or even closing their practices because they can't comply with this avalanche of rules and regulations. We're seeing young people having an ever more difficult time getting that first job to get their foot on the ladder because the employer mandate has had such a huge dampening effect on job creation in this country. We're seeing families paying ever higher prices for health insurance that has many more benefits than they want and often less access to physicians and the hospitals that they want. They have not saved $2,500 a year. It has not met its target, even reduced target in access to health insurance. So I don't know where he's getting his numbers, but it is not based upon the actual facts of what's happening as a result of this law.
Grace Marie, we hear every year when we get around to open enrollment time for health care about what folks will likely be looking at. Some folks obviously got the major sticker shock in the fall of 2013. Last year, some folks said it'll be horrible. Other folks said not as bad as expected. As we get further along in this process, assuming things essentially stay the same when it comes to implementation, what are we going to be seeing 5 years from now?
No, I mean, and it's just a prescription for healthcare inflation. If you've not increased the supply of doctors and hospitals, and in fact, hospitals are merging, consolidating. We're learning today that many more rural hospitals are likely to close. You have fewer physicians. And you're pumping all this additional taxpayer money into the health sector. It's an absolute prescription for inflation. But even from the baseline, the average health insurance policy that that people were purchasing on the exchanges the first when they first opened about a little over a year ago was 40% higher than the policies that they were purchasing before. And it's because partly these policies had to cover so many more benefits than people wanted or needed. And so you're starting with a 40% higher baseline. And over every year, you're going to see those numbers go up at least as high as they were before. But you've got to build in the fact that people are paying 40% more than they were in the first place. We have done a number of focus groups, Greg, recently. And we have folks from, half of them voted for President Obama, half of them that voted for Romney in the last election to make sure we have a good mix of swing voters. You can't tell the difference between them when they start talking about this law and how they have been personally harmed by it. And the first thing you hear is how much more expensive their health care is now and their health insurance.
Let's talk about options now for a Republican majority in Congress. There's obviously full repeal, which probably has the votes to get through the Senate if they go through the same reconciliation tactics that the Democratic leadership used to pass it in the first place. But even in that scenario, the president will veto it and there aren't enough votes to override the veto. Is that still important to do? And secondly, what other smaller steps that could potentially get through are worth pursuing right now?
Well, first of all, this law has already been changed 49 times. And people can go to our website at galen.org to see the list. So had this law gone into effect as it was, it would have collapsed long before this. The House has already taken a vote to repeal the law. Obviously, it's not going to get 60 votes in the Senate, and the president would never sign it. But this pending decision from the Supreme Court, the King v. Burwell challenge, to an illegal IRS rule that basically decided we're going to rewrite the statute, provides actually, Greg, a huge opportunity to begin to move us back to the right kind of health reform. Obamacare would basically be invalidated in 37 states if the plaintiffs win in this case. And that would provide an opportunity for the Congress to begin to reset the dial, to provide care and to provide coverage for the people who would otherwise lose it, probably about 5 to 6 million people, if the Supreme Court does vote to uphold the rule of law. Then they would have options for health insurance that their states approve that doesn't have to comply with all of the rules and mandates of Obamacare. Gets away from the employer mandate, moves away from the individual mandate. Millions of people would be protected from Obamacare's onerous rules and requirements. So it's a first step. And then once that happens, then you begin to see many other people wanting those same choices, even in the states that did establish their own state exchanges. So in all the 37 states that are relying on the federal exchange, we could have an important restart, and it would really be must-pass legislation. Members of Congress on both sides of the House, governors, attorneys general, all of them have stepped forward and said, yes, we want to take care of those 5 to 6 million people, but we want to do it in a way that gives people more freedom, more choice, and really unleashes the opportunity for people to purchase the kind of coverage and insurance they want without these extraordinarily expensive rules and mandates that Obamacare requires.
Grace Marie, we'll keep following it, and we'll certainly be checking in with you as we do. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.